Hello and welcome to a roadmap for PBL, designing a high-performance PBL unit this summer. We're going to get started in just a few minutes, but if you will, turn your attention to the chat and share your name, role, and location as we wait to begin. Wonderful. We've got folks from all over. We've got folks from North Carolina. And we've got people from Madison Heights, Chicago, California, New Jersey, Washington, D.C., Bermuda, Denver, Barbados. Welcome, welcome, everyone. Thank you for sharing your name, your role, and where you're from. So glad you're here. We're going to go ahead and get started in just a couple minutes. This is a roadmap for PBL, designing a high-performance PBL unit this summer. I'm Dr. Amy Bader, and I'm so glad to have you today. We'll get started at the top of the hour. If you're just getting here, please find the chat. We'll be using that throughout the session and add your name, your role, and location if you haven't already. All right, wonderful. Well, we will get started. Again, this is a roadmap for PBL, designing a high-performance PBL unit this summer. I'm Dr. Amy Bader, and I wanted to just give you a little bit of background about me. My background is in secondary education as a science and language arts teacher in Seattle Public Schools. I also worked in the teacher education program at the University of Washington and have been serving on the board of the Arkansas Science Teachers Association for quite some time and was president last year, and also work in curriculum design for EduCurious, a nonprofit in Seattle, Empatico, and partner and do some work with National Geographic as well. So a little bit about the Project-Based Learning Network. At the Project-Based Learning Network, we connect PBL educators with each other and with ideas that deepen their practice, support educators and leaders as they utilize PBL to bring about motivation, engagement, and deeper learning for all students, and then give you those tools, strategies, and an inspiration that will help you implement PBL in your context. And so the PBLN is a just a global group of motivated, PBL-minded educators from around the world, including the United States, Saudi Arabia, Egypt, Thailand, China, Canada, Australia, England, South Korea, Jamaica, Bermuda, Russia, and the Netherlands, growing every day. I love adding to this list. And we work with educators in pre-K to adult educators everywhere in between. We span all subject areas, grade levels, and all of that. So it's very exciting to see how people are using project-based learning in quite a few different contexts. And I do need to add Mongolia to that list, yes. Our essential question today is, how can I use the PBL roadmap to build a high-performance project-based learning unit this summer? So I always like to begin webinars with an essential question because it helps us focus our learning for the evening. So in this webinar, we're going to look at how to leverage your time this summer. And again, I know I have folks from around the world, so your season might be different right now, to build the best PBL unit for your context. What elements need to be in your unit to lead to an engaging, rigorous learning experience for students this fall? the tools and next steps for developing your first high-performance PBL unit, a roadmap for designing PBL units, and an implementation roadmap for leaders as well, and the 6 fundamental assumptions of high-performance PBL. So I'd love to know, which of the following describes you? Are you A, absolutely new to PBL? Are you B, I have been through a training, but I haven't taught using PBL? C, I've taught a unit or two, and I'm still working through the learning curve. D, I've taught several PBL units. Or E, I'm an administrator or coach supporting this work. And you might be E and something else. If you want to do that, you can. So I'm just looking through here to see what we've got. By the way, you will be getting, if you're registered, you will be getting a recording of this following. So that's great. We've got CAA, got lots of folks that are administrators. We've got some folks absolutely new to project-based learning. We've got some folks that have taught a unit or two and still working. So really across the board, it's great. All right, we'll let some more of these come through. Fantastic. Okay, so it's great to see where everyone is, and that helps you know the folks that are part of this today. So I wanted to talk a little bit about why I use the label of a roadmap to describe the tool that we're going to be introducing today. I'm from the generation that grew up using roadmaps and atlases, learning how to read maps and legends and all of that. But we also have embraced tools like Google Maps. One drawback of using automated navigation tools is that they don't give you the big picture of where you're going or how to improvise if you make a wrong turn. And sometimes those automated tools could lag, or they could assume you're traveling down a parallel road and not give you accurate directions, or maybe you missed your turn because you couldn't get over. And you have to use those navigational skills that if you have a big picture, like what a roadmap might give you, you could do that. You could also miss out on some of the more scenic routes or different attractions if you're always just, you know, plugging in your destination, following the most direct path. Well, as a teacher, I understand that sometimes our curriculum ends up being like that automated navigation tool, right? Where we're expected to kind of follow things without really thinking about how other pieces fit together. And many of us were drawn to teaching because we're creative souls and we can think on our feet. So having a roadmap for curriculum development can serve us well, which is why I created the PBL roadmap for teachers. This roadmap can help you get from point A, which is step 1, to point B, which is step 12 on this map, when planning a PBL unit. But it's also flexible enough if you wanted to start at step 3 and then go backwards, or for you to move around depending on where you are and get to the place that you need to be. And this will make a little bit more sense as I go through and unpack each step. So why a roadmap for PBL? Like I said, I'll break down this roadmap in the webinar so you can see each step and so you can download it. But first, we want to make sure we're talking about the same language. But why a roadmap? We want to get the big picture and an understanding of the lay of the land in the unit that you're creating. And you can customize your journey. You're also a little bit more control of the outcome when you're not on autopilot and you have a little bit more agency. And after you've made this journey once using the roadmap in designing a PBL unit, you'll know the route and you'll be able to travel it again. So that's why I call this a roadmap. And, you know, bear with my analogies. I do like maybe digging into those a little too far, but I think it helps us understand why it is the way it is. So let's get that common language down about project-based learning. The way I define project-based learning is that it's an approach to instruction that facilitates deeper learning, motivation, and engagement through student voice and choice, the investigation of real-world problems, and the exploration of content through the project. There's way more to it, but that's my concise definition, if you can believe that. I also like to differentiate between projects and project-based learning. So projects are usually introduced after the content is taught, or at least worked on then. and it's saved for the end. But in project-based learning, the projects are introduced from day one and worked on throughout the unit. Additionally, in projects, sometimes there's an imbalance between teacher direction and student inquiry. Either there's too much teacher direction or too little teacher direction, where students are just expected to go out and like learn things without much instruction. And we want to get to a place where students are independent learners, but usually they're not there yet when we give them that much freedom. We've still got to do a little bit of guidance and a little bit of instruction to get to that place. And in PBL, students are supported and given direction, but there's also meaningful voice and choice present. Projects are typically just presented to the class if they're presented at all. They may not be connected to the standards and they're seen as an extra or as an add-on, whereas PBL, they're shared with an authentic audience built around the standards and learning goals, and the project is core to learning and drives the learning. So this is just a summary of how these two are different. And I just love to see if you have taught projects before, if you've taught PBL before, or neither, just kind of drop in the chat like, oh yeah, what I was doing, that was projects. Or, oh yeah, what I was doing was definitely PBL. Or I haven't done either of these things very much. Just let me know what you've been up to in the chat. Okay. Great. Some of each. Yeah. Yeah. It's very typical. It's just so helpful to see kind of how these are defined, so we know what we're talking about. Perfect. Great. All right. So from my perspective, these are the six fundamental assumptions that I have about what high performance PBL looks like. And I'm going to break these down as well. The content and standards are taught through the project. PBL can be taught throughout the year. PBL is for all learners. The project is introduced from day one. We have a balance of open-endedness and structure. PBL is flexible and works in a variety of contexts. So let's break these down a little bit. Key assumption one is that the content and the standards are taught through the project. It's not saved for the end. The project work is woven throughout, and each lesson connects to the standards and addresses a part of the project. So they're learning the content, they're working on the project throughout, not saved for the end. So there's your weaving. You can remember that by this image here. Two, the second key assumption is PBL can be taught throughout the year. In past webinars, I've talked about how the end of the year is a great time to start maybe trying PBL out just because it's low stakes. So after testing season here in the United States, but PBL can be taught throughout the year. It can be the first unit you teach. It can be something you teach all throughout the year. It can be, you know, at the end of the year. It doesn't matter when you do it because you're teaching it and basing it on the standards. So it shouldn't matter when you teach it. And it's for all learners, students receiving special education services, students labeled as gifted, students whose first language is in English, students in AP or IB classes, preschoolers, adult learners, everyone in between, eager learners, reluctant learners, students in core classes or in elective and activity classes. So all learners, PBL serves them well. Another key assumption is that the project is introduced from the first day with an engaging launch lesson. You can remember that with the rocket launching here. Students know the basics about what they'll be working on, and they are issued a challenge from the first day, even if some of those pieces will be determined a little bit later and the students don't know everything about that quite yet. And there's still some ambiguity, but there's also some clarity on day one. Key assumption five is there's a balance of open-endedness and structure. So what that means is it's not free inquiry where it's like, pick whatever you want, study whatever you want. You can grade it however you want, because that can actually make students freeze up, and it probably won't hit the standards and teach them the skills that you want if you're doing it that way. But it's also not lockstep or completely teacher directed, which is also stifling and does not allow for that voice and choice that we know students need. So this balance of open-endedness and structure produces the most academically challenging yet engaging results. And then our last key assumption is that PBL is flexible and it works in a variety of contexts. So whether you're doing block scheduling, or it's a summer program, or you're doing homeschool, or you're teaching in a private school or a charter school or a public school or whatever, PBL is flexible and students can work on their own or in groups, pairs. Students can do their project using technology as much or as little as they wish. So those were our key assumptions. What of those assumptions was a new assumption for you? So to review, was it key assumption one, content and the standards are taught through the project? Was it that PBL can be taught throughout the year? Was it that PBL is for all learners? Was it that the project is introduced from day one? Was it that there's a balance of open-endedness and structure, or that PBL is flexible and works in a variety of contexts? What is new to you? All right. I love seeing this. This is great. Lots of new ideas. Some no surprises. All right. Good. That means that we're aligned and great. Either way is great. It's good to hear that people are learning new things, and it's good to hear that, hey, this is kind of what I thought PBL was. Fantastic. So you might be wondering what elements need to be in your unit to lead to an engaging, rigorous learning experience for your students. And so we're going to unpack that just briefly, and then I really want to get to the roadmap. So let's look at what this looks like. So high-performance PBLs have real-world and authentic problem that you're working on, which this could be past, present, future problem that's relevant to students. Sometimes that's difficult if it's, depending on the class that you're in. Maybe it's not a problem in a music class or a drama class where you're performing, there's not really a real world problem, but there is a real world audience and product that you're doing. So that, but the problem is one that we can kind of work around a little bit depending on the content area. This is, super important, I think, in especially math, math, science, and social studies. The problem is great to focus on. A real world product. Students create a real world product or a junior version of a product. Junior version meaning there might be some pieces that are taken out so it's manageable for students to do within the time that they have, but they're creating something real. Audience. Students create their product for an audience and present to an audience. And so this is, this could be a digital audience. It could be an in-person audience. It could be displayed for an audience asynchronously. In the hallway, it can look a lot of different ways, but they're creating their product to be shared with someone else. And there's also an essential question. The question is one that students find both authentic and relevant. And so this real world and authentic piece is super important to creating a great PBL unit. There's also an underlying story for why students are learning the content. So maybe there's a challenge that's issued by someone from the community. Maybe there's a reason that you kind of stumbled upon this and you think it's something that your students would care about. The student learning is shared with an audience, as I mentioned. The project is relevant, authentic. They're working on that project throughout the unit, which I mentioned before as well. And they're learning important subject area content through that project, and they're actively and deeply learning. This will result in that cognitive engagement that we're looking for. I think I know the answer to this question, but this is something you're looking for in your school, district, or classroom. We got all caps. Love it. Right? Or you wouldn't be here, right? That's what I thought. Sometimes I question my questions. All right. After observing, writing, providing feedback on teaching hundreds of PBL units, I've found 14 ingredients that constitute a high-performance PBL unit. And these are ones that I use with my curriculum developer certification program as well, when I'm looking for a high performance PBL unit. So is it relevant to students? Is it challenging? Does it address a real world problem? Is there community impact or involvement? Are there built-in scaffolds to support all students? Because we're asking students to do high level things. We need to make sure that there are structures in place, that there are systems in place, that there are supports there. that students are able to reach those high expectations. An authentic audience, it's collaborative. This doesn't mean that students do the final project completely in a group. They could produce an individual product, but along the way, they're working with other people, building those skills. Alignment from the essential question to the final product. It's built upon standards and learning goals. There's an approachable, meaning like students can understand it, and compelling, it means they're excited by it. Essential question, there are elements of student voice and choice, a so what factor, like why are we even doing this, right? We can answer that when we write a high performance PBL unit. There's self and peer feedback that's embedded. And then we start the whole thing with a launch that hooks students, introduces the project, has students working through ideas, and we're accessing their prior knowledge in this launch lesson. So if I see all these pieces at play, that means that that unit is going to be pretty dynamite. And so right now, and I can review these, I can go back to that slide, but which of these elements of PBL do you implement now, or are you seeing implemented now in the systems that you're in? I'll go back so you can see, but which of these elements do you think you do a pretty good job of? It's okay to pat yourself on the back. We need to know what we have in place so we can build and move forward. Just go ahead and add that so we can see what we're doing already. Yeah, so you've got some things in place. It's nice to know that it's not completely different from the things that we're doing in our classes. It's just a little bit of some changes that can make huge impacts later and how we design and how we approach this. Great. Yeah, for some of you, yeah, it might be easier for you to say, and here's where I need to grow. We're doing most of this, but the ones that I want to see or do a better job of, you might want to identify those. So you might be doing 13 out of the 14 and say, hey, you know, I need to change this one. So whichever one you want to talk about is fine with me. Okay. So one of the central ideas about this is how to leverage your time this summer to build the best PBL unit for your context. And one thing that we know, there are lots of studies, and I wanted to bring a whole bunch of them up, and I was like, okay, I'm really in the weeds here with this, but just to summarize what I had read and what I've read about before is that new experiences lead to creativity, and particularly people that work cross-disciplinary teams, you know, like biologists working with mathematicians or people who are from completely different fields. If you're working together with someone from a different area, you're going to see things a little bit differently. And new experiences lead to creativity. So summer is a great time, or you know, whenever you have a break, is a great time to be creative and to develop new curriculum, to develop new units. So one great thing about doing PBL design in the summer is to get project ideas. You can, and you know, if you're not already doing this, read an interesting book set in a different time period or a nonfiction book about a fascinating topic. You could, if it's safe to do so for you, travel somewhere new or be a tourist in your own town. You could volunteer for a cause and meet new people, learn about real world problems, and then think about what skills that you used as you volunteered. You might come up with a new project idea. You could also learn a new skill from a friend or from a class. Maybe you want to take up beekeeping. I put some bees there. Listen to a podcast or visit a museum if it's safe to do so and open, or spend time exploring in the woods and just having that time to decompress. You might have some creativity emerge and think of an idea that you hadn't thought of before, you know, how the standards that you're looking at connect to something real and around you at that time. The other thing about summer or having a break anyway is that you have time to collaborate with your colleagues without a lot of the other distractions that might be happening during the school year. I'm not saying your students aren't distractions, but you know what I mean? Like for curriculum design, it is a little bit more difficult to do that in the midst of other activities. You also have time to get into that flow state, that state of really being able to focus on something and completing those tasks and feeling like time is just like irrelevant to what you're doing. And that doesn't get to happen very often for us as adults, but this might be a chance for that to happen. And then you have time to let things kind of sit and marinate in your mind about project ideas that you don't feel in a huge rush to really commit to something right away. And then you have time to reflect on the big picture and what you really want for your students. Sometimes when our students are right in front of us, it's, you know, I need to make sure that they turn this in. I need to make sure that we get through this lesson plan. I need to make sure that we do this, this, this. And it's hard to think big picture, like, you know what? I really want my students to come out of my class being able to think critically and be global citizens. And that's what I really want. Or I really want to develop empathy within my students. And I want them to become, you know, scientifically literate. And that's my big picture. So really thinking about what you want from your students is something we don't get the luxury to do very often. And then to connect with the community. So thinking about how you have a little bit, maybe more time to take informal stock of the resources you have in your community that you may not have noticed before. Or look into how, you know, in our area, we have 4-H or scouting programs or other clubs and organizations might help students tackle real world problems. That will help you even design your unit and think about resources and assets that are there. And additionally, you could ask community leaders what problems could be solved in your community that your students might be able to help with, you know, whether they're in first grade or 12th grade. And then identify experts in your field who live in your community or people who have lived through experiences that you might study, maybe for social studies. All right, so now a question for you. Which of these strategies or benefits will you leverage this summer? Will you leverage some of these new experiences? The fact that you maybe have a little bit more time, the community resources, or something else that I maybe didn't think about? Lots of good ideas coming through. Yes, yes, yes. All of the above. Perfect. Okay. So now we'll move into the part that I promised you today, which is a roadmap for designing PBL units and a PBL implementation roadmap for our leaders. So one thing about my work is that I know where PBL unit planners get lost. So after working with hundreds of teachers planning and implementing PBL units, I kind of have a sense of what some common obstacles are. And these are just a few. Actually, it's kind of fun to hear these. I know it's not fun for the people in the moment experiencing them, but it's kind of interesting to see what things come up often and which things are new and different. So one of the biggest obstacles is because you're all such creative people, right? A lot of us have too many ideas, and this leads to the creation of mega units. And mega units can be a little bit deadly for your PBL implementation, because what ends up happening is if you have too many ideas and you put them all in one unit, your unit gets very, very long and your students will tire quickly. And we don't want to create a PBL marathon for students, especially in their first round. So it's always great to scope it out and put a few constraints on your unit and to think about creating a unit that is doable, a unit that is going to have some substance to it, but that also can be completed in a reasonable amount of time so that you and your students don't tire too quickly. And that will vary, what that length is will vary, you know, depending on if you have very young students or older students. But all ages can get tired, even the adults teaching it. It's also sometimes hard to find for some folks when they get started a connection between the topic that they have to teach or the standards and then a good product that's not something that they have to spend days and days teaching, right? So if you're teaching math, you don't want to have to go through a video creation seminar with your students, right? Because you don't have that time because you're teaching math and you've got to teach the math. So thinking about how to make sure that maybe you partner with another teacher or that you have a good way to have students show what they've learned without having to spend a whole week on teaching them how to make that whatever product it is. So that is sometimes difficult for people. Also, how to teach the content so that there is voice and choice, but that you're also teaching the standards. So how do you do that? One place that people get lost. And then how to make sure your unit doesn't take up so much time, right, that it squeezes out other units that you have to teach. So really getting the most out of the unit and fitting in as many standards as possible, or partnering with some other teachers who teach some of the other things, really helps with that. And these are things that I've heard quite a bit. We learned what PBL is in this workshop we went to, but not how to plan a unit. Or we're being expected to teach a PBL unit, but we're not given any time to plan a PBL unit. So those are common things that I hear. And so I designed a roadmap so that some of the things that I'm hearing can be dealt with a little bit early on, but by both leaders in the building as well as the teachers. So how can I get started? So you can download this roadmap for free if you go to amybader.com/roadmap-teachers. And if someone wants to put that in the chat, just so it's easy for someone to click on, I'll leave this here for just a moment and let someone handle that for us. Thank you so much. And there's also one for district and school leaders. And that one is at amybader.com/roadmap-leaders. And so you can get there. If someone could drop both of those, thank you so much, in the chat. That'll help people be able to just click on it. And you may have to enter your email address, but just that'll be great. Thank you so much. That way you've got access to this, you've got access to both of them. The one for leaders, I'm not going to break down today, but it is useful for you to kind of see how you would maybe shepherd your teachers through this process. And that's because I've been to several sites that some of that background work was not put in place, and it's harder for that work to be sustainable in that case. So let's take a look. We've got 12 steps here with 5 different stages. Stage 1 is establish the project foundations. Stage 2 is design an authentic, meaningful project. Stage 3 is sketching out those assessments and activities. Stage 4 is planning your project bookends, your launch, and then your final day. And then stage 5 is resourcing and plan your unit. I have to be absolutely honest with you. My favorite step is stage 1. Kind of scoping that out in stage 2, I guess. Scoping it out, those early stages of planning are so much fun. It's when you start to start to move into designing every single lesson that it gets tricky. And that's another place that people can get kind of lost and bogged down. So again, I recommend making sure you have a very clear scope of how many days you'll be teaching and kind of the direction that'll be going in stage 1 and 2, so that you're not planning, you know, just lesson after lesson after lesson after lesson after lesson and assessment after assessment. So really scoping that out. Stage 1, establishing project foundations, is where you identify your standards and learning goals, specify your key skills, concepts, and knowledge that you want students to learn, and you brainstorm project ideas. Do we have any brainstormers here with us? Brainstormers, you have all the ideas, you want to do all the things. If that's you, just I need to see my fellow brainstormers here. That is my favorite step. Yes, some folks raising their hand. Yep, that's me. Stage 2, identify. Yes, you see, we're all here because we love that step. Identify a real world problem. Identify a real world audience. Craft an essential question. And decide on a product if you haven't already. Stage 2 is also lots of fun because you're really thinking about the big picture. You're thinking about, you know, who's going to hear all this? Who is it for? What's the problem? Lots of fun here. Crafting an essential question, we start to kind of, you know, narrow that down a little bit, and we're having to commit, and that gets tough, right? Getting that essential question just right. So that can be tough. to do. And then really making sure we know what the scope of our product is going to be can be tough too. So that's where we start to want some of that feedback and that peer review and making sure our colleagues know what we're up to, running it by somebody else and getting a little bit, you know, weighing in with somebody. Stage three, this is where some of our brainstormers start to lose some steam, right? Because now we are sketching out those assessments and activities. We map out our unit in phases. So, you know, phase one might have a certain collection of lessons that all kind of hang together. Phase two might be another collection of lessons that are about a similar theme, or maybe there's an essential question driving that phase within your unit. Phase three is you're winding your unit, you're wrapping it up. Phase four might be that presentation, peer review, and that kind of thing. And you're identifying your unit's learning activities and lessons along the way. How will they get to do that product? Where will they be learning those key skills and concepts and that key knowledge? And then where will they be assessed throughout the unit as well? So it's also still pretty big picture. And you know, that's still a place where our planning brains, those of us with hyperactive prefrontal cortexes, love to shine as well. So moving into stage four, you're planning your project bookends. You plan that final presentation and the final product in detail. And by that, I mean, you figure out, well, do you think students will be presenting by themselves in groups? Are they doing it on video? What is in the product? Like, what will they be making? There have to be a few constraints, even if each product can be completely different from the other one in some way, you have to have some constraints on that. So if you're having them all make a video, for example, what goes in the video? How long is the video? What's the topic? That kind of thing. And then you plan the launch day for the unit. It's one of my favorite lessons to plan because it really sets the tone of the unit. All right, and then stage five, you're creating those detailed lesson plans. You resource and plan your unit. Sorry about that, it cut off my plan, your unit. You're creating detailed lesson plans, resource your unit, meaning if you're saying students are watching a video about such and such, you go and you find some good examples of that. Or if you're saying students read an article about this and that, or they are, you know, whatever it is that they're doing, you're resourcing your unit, whatever experts you need, whatever you need to pull in. And then you launch it with students. Also very exciting part. So really, I like all the parts, but I especially like the beginning stages. So all of these steps are important to planning a PBL unit. And I created this roadmap just so that you could kind of see how to progress through these different stages of planning. And again, you can move back and forth in different places. You can, you might already have identified what skills, concepts, and knowledge need to be taught. And now you're just deciding, okay, well, I'm going to do this in a PBL sort of way. So hopefully you found that and been able to download it and follow along a little bit. I'm hoping that you will want to use the roadmap to plan a unit this summer. That would be amazing if you're able to do that, because then you're going to be ready to use this kind of teaching and learning with your students. So here's some ways that you might want to get started. This is another thing you can download. It's 10 no-fail PBL steps you can take in 20 minutes or less. Sometimes we just have 20 minutes and we can't commit necessarily to sitting down and, you know, cranking something huge out, but we could, you know, just take a few steps here and there when you've got a minute or two. Maybe you're enjoying a cup of coffee or you're winding down and you're just like, you know what? I want to, well, thank you so much for adding that there. You can just start to chip away at something here and just kind of start the steps that it would take to make a PBL unit. And sometimes people are like, oh, I just need some ideas to get started. I just need a product idea. And maybe you don't, you know, run with one of these in particular, but maybe this is something just to kind of get you going on thinking about what these sorts of things could include. So these are some product ideas that you could use as a springboard. And sadly, our time is running out. I know that we still have a little bit of time. I want to make sure We've got some questions and I want to talk to you a little bit about something else, but I did want to put this here in case we ran out of time and you wanted to schedule a call with me. Maybe you've got some ideas and you're thinking about how you might use this in your school with your building, especially district leaders. So, you know, if you have anything, any big questions for me, amybader.com/call, you can schedule a call with me at that link. But I mean, the roadmap is helpful and you can get started with that roadmap. But if you really want a tour guide or someone to help you navigate some new territory, there is a way you can work with me as you write a high performance PBL unit. And that is through the PBL CDC program. You can go through the whole process for building a high performance PBL unit over the course of several modules. We'll go through the whole roadmap in our modules. And you can either go through this on your own as a teacher, or you can go through this as a team or a department or a school. But this is just a way for you to build that capacity and to just have me along with you as you do that. And this is from one of our CDC folks that has gone through the program. And you actually learn by doing a PBL. So your problem, I've sketched out for you, what problem are you trying to solve with PBL? And your audience will be other PBLN members and your cohort, ultimately your students. And then the product is a planned PBL unit. And then your essential question is, how can I create a high performance PBL unit without getting lost? So you've got your roadmap, get a tour guide, or giving up. And you know, when I train teachers in person, I have them experience it by working on that authentic process. So here's just what another person was saying about the program. And if you want to learn more about it, you can go to amybader.com/summer21 and you can learn more about it there just as a place to go. So I'd love to hear about what your vision is for project-based learning. What does it look like? What does it sound like to go into your classroom or to your school? What are students doing? What are the teachers doing? What are you doing as a teacher? Or what are your teachers doing if you're an administrator? And then what are the outcomes? So really paint that picture for what that looks like. I'm guessing many of us are looking forward to hopefully a somewhat normal, if we can say that word, school year. And I know we want to hear students, you know, talking about ideas. We want to see students engaged. We want to be energized when we go to work every day. We want to have that sense that students are doing something meaningful. So go ahead and add that to your chat, whatever your vision is for PBL. Add that to the chat. What is your vision for project-based learning in your classroom, building, district? Absolutely. So more engagement. Students are collaborating, creating, teachers guiding. The final product is helpful for life in the community. There's student and teacher engagement. We've got students engaged in the projects that they're passionate about and they're learning skills. This is so great. So lots of great ideas about authenticity. Yes, absolutely. So I want you to think about how you're going to get from point A to point B. You have a roadmap in your hands. You have some ideas. Definitely will require some work, right? We have to do more than wish for it. So I do encourage you to take some of those steps, whether it's the 10 steps that you can do in 20 minutes or less, whether it's starting with a roadmap. We just know that you have that time, right? We talked about the way that summer is a time where you can do something. You've got a little bit more time. You've got your community resources. You've got some new experiences so that you can do some learning. Many of you mentioned courses and PD and being able to, you know, learn more and read books and that kind of thing. If you're interested, we also have, like I mentioned, the PBL certification program. It's open right now for the summer. To join, you can go to amybader.com/summer21 if you want to learn more about it. So there are modules that will help you create your own PBL unit. There's a plan book. These are the 5 modules. What is high performance PBL? We go into way more depth about what that looks like than we were able to do in our time together. Digging deep to inform and inspire a rich PBL unit. So I talk more about learning about the resources in your community, what you want from your students, then planning your unit's foundations and 4 cornerstones of your unit, framing your unit from start to finish, and then peer reviewing, publishing, and celebrating, which is very exciting. And if you want to learn more about it, you can go to amybader.com/summer21. And how it works is it's video modules that will walk you through the entire PBL roadmap with step-by-step action tasks to get you closer to your goal in each lesson. And it comes with a unit plan book that gives you the prompts, the templates, the tools that you need to complete your unit. And here's just, you know, flipping through the pages of the plan book. There's also an action task sort of workbook that goes along with it. All of it, the work is done, all the videos and things are done in Mighty Networks, which is like our platform. So you can watch the videos there, respond there, and see what other people who have gone through the program are able to respond and do there too. I also offer fishbowl coaching, which are sessions that give you one-on-one support. So if you get stuck, I get to pull you out of there. Mainly just we talk to each other and you get some good ideas and then we pull out those key ideas. I say, okay, you know, I listened to all this. We did a transcript of it. And now here are some ideas that we can pull away and that come out of that fishbowl coaching session. And you also have access to our PBL and network community where you can share ideas, get feedback, get connected with some resources. And when you're done, you submit your unit design and any artifacts or videos or photos or whatever, you just share what you've designed with me. And then I review your unit according to those same essential elements that we talked about. And once you're certified, you get a certificate, your digital badge. I see some of these in emails that I get from our CDC folks, and it's very exciting. You have a unit that you can use, and you can go back and go through this as many times as you want. So you have lifetime access to the coursework, materials, network, you know, all of our past recorded webinars and resources as well. So I love to take pictures with certificates before I send them out to all over the place, to our CDC finishers. You can just kind of see what folks have done. Alexander from Shanghai wrote a 4th grade PBL unit. So students were learning about persuasive techniques and science. They were learning animal needs and habitats. This was a 3rd grade unit in which students created a dual language ancient Egypt museum exhibit. So I got to see lots and lots of pictures of these life-size exhibits. Very cool. And just kind of reading what people have to say about the course is always helpful and helps you kind of see how it comes across to someone who's an educator about the program. And this was very exciting to me. I'm no longer hesitant to do PBL. I see it as a fun and engaging way to teach. I look forward to when I can do my project, 2nd grade teacher. So I see some questions about the fee. So if you are in a group, there's team pricing and registration, there are group discounts, and a group is just 2 or more, because I know that people do a great job when they are able to go about this with another person or with a team. So you can email us for a quote about what that might look like, depending on the size of your team, at amy@amybader.com. We can see what we can do for you there. Leaders, I do want to just say that this is complex work. So make sure you're supporting your teachers with time and with resources and with training and with patience and with a vision, because we know that this doesn't happen overnight. So, you know, just realizing that as a leader, just making sure that if you're hoping teachers will do PBL, that we're building this in as a long-term process. So thank you for being here, leaders, especially because leaders with a vision for PBL will make sure that it happens in their setting, and they're going to make sure that teachers are supported in doing that. So sometimes the changes are hard for students too, especially when it's easier for the students to just get a worksheet, right? So at first they might be a little bit hesitant, but shifting those student beliefs is important too. So it's something to think about. School and district leaders, pre-service educators, you can implement PBL with a grade level team, a department, your whole teaching staff using PBL CDC, and I can support you as the leader as you do that work. I'm absolutely willing to do that. So one thing that we do offer is we break the registration fee into 12 monthly installments with no interest, because we have a lot of folks that they may be out for the summer. They might not have school funds yet, but they want to do this. So they pay out of pocket and then they can get reimbursed. You will also have lifetime access to the module, so you can go back and do this anytime. And we do accept school purchase orders and credit cards. So the first payment is only $5 if you did want to break that up for the first month, if you pay monthly, and then you would continue those payments throughout the year. So that is something that you may be interested in doing, especially if we want to get time to see if school funding is a possibility. And if you sign up today for the PBLN CDC, then you also get the PBL Practices Challenge, which is normally $79. This is something I haven't talked about at all, but is something that I created and would love to share. So it just helps you get a jump start on reaching out to experts in your topic, hunting for real world problems, topics, and products, narrowing down your standards and learning goals, developing an entry document, a launch, and then finding out the skills, routines, and mindset. So that would be part of what would come through with that. If you want to check it out, you can go to amybader.com/summer21. You could start today if you wanted to. It doesn't matter to me. But I did want to just kind of wrap this up by saying anything that you used to think, and you just complete that sentence with, I used to think this about PBL, but now I think this. I just want to see how your thinking might have shifted, what you are mulling over about the roadmap, about what you can do to get started this summer, how you might be able to use your community, your time, what kind of common obstacles I come across, and how you might overcome those, how you might use new experiences, just anything. I used to think this, maybe it's about some of the key assumptions about PBL, but now I think this. So let me know what you're thinking about project-based learning. I used to think this, but now I think this. Lots of great ideas. I used to think that I could never do PBL because it wasn't structured enough, but now I see that there is structure to it. Love it. We have a question about how many hours the Summer 21 program would be. So one thing to consider is that it's about 10 hours of video, and then there is time to build in for a response for each one of the prompts, and then there's time to actually build the unit. So it really depends on if you're building a 1 week unit for preschoolers, for example, or a 3 to 5 week unit for junior high students would require a lot more work. So it really depends on the length of the unit about how long the writing process would take. But I usually estimate between 25 and 40 hours from start to finish. And I think that it's a substantial unit, but I'd love to get a sense from anyone who's completed this, if you're here, that you can respond to that as well. That's about how much time I would say. I used to think that all content areas had to be included in a unit, but now I think it can be 2 or 3 content areas. Not sure if my shift in thought is correct. Yeah, so you could teach this you know, solely for a biology class, or you could teach this as an interdisciplinary unit. You could teach this, you know, if you're an elementary teacher, you might be able to teach this through your science and social studies, math and language arts. So it really depends. I used to think it was about the end product, but now I think it's about the whole process. Yes. Yeah. So I used to think PBL was just labor intensive for the teacher, but now I think the project gives children so much autonomy, they can actually be teachers in a way. Mm-hmm. I used to think of it as abstract, but now I want to learn more. Great. Lots of great ideas. So if you are a district or school leader who's curious about this program, often folks will go through the program with another teacher and learn alongside them. And some have actually gone through this program and have developed summer PD for their teachers, creating a PBL, you know, using this process for their teachers. Others have created something that's taught through the homeroom class or in an advisory sort of capacity. And others have created just a unit so they can experience it. And then, you know, they hand it over to a teacher to use in their classroom. So lots of ways that administrators have been involved in this process. And I love to see the creativity that comes from it. If there are other questions, I'll stay around, but I wanted to thank you so much for your participation. I love having a lively group that is willing to respond to all the great, with all the great thoughts that you're having. And I do want to make sure that we're able to stay connected. So my information is here. If you want to email me, if you want to check out the website, if you want to have a way to reach me, I've enjoyed having you here. And yes, if you have attended this webinar, you'll receive a replay link. If you are a member or you're part of the CDC, then that replay link will be able to be accessed as long as you're part of the program, and for short term, if you're not, but you will get a replay link. And I like that. Any other questions? I'm going to stick around. And again, if you are interested in the program and want to register, or if you are just want to make sure you have this, it's amybader.com/summer21 if you want to learn more. So I'll be around, and feel free to ask any questions. Thank you so much.